Tonight was the final WWE Raw before Crown Jewel, which is coming up this Saturday in Riyadh, and it was a much better show than the one they put on last week. At no point during tonight's show did I feel as if I was about to pass out and fall asleep. So that's a good sign. So a definite improvement from last week, and they did a very good job, I thought, of really pushing the key Raw matches that are on the show at Crown Jewel. In the main event tonight, we had Sami Zayn and Damian Priest, which ended in a very lame disqualification finish, a terrible finish to the main event. But Cody Rhodes came out, and Cody Rhodes got on the mic, and he cut a fiery promo on Damian Priest, calling him a walk-behinder, trying to create some more friction between the members of the Judgment Day, and talking about how his story runs through Damian Priest this Saturday at Crown Jewel. No mention of the briefcase being on the line, so I thought maybe they would add it. No money in the bank contract on the line. But what I enjoyed the most was the build to the World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre was not on the show, but they had a very, very good video package that really drove home, you know, character-wise, what it is that has really stuck in this man's craw now for the last 3 years, going back to when he won the championship in 2020 in front of no fans at WrestleMania. So his story arc goes all the way back there, and it laid out all of his frustrations. It mentioned the fact that his first title defense coming out of that first reign was against Seth Rollins, and now he was going to take the World Heavyweight title away from Seth. I thought it was very well done. Seth had an equally excellent rebuttal in his promo live on the show tonight. So that's really what impressed me the most, was the build to the World Heavyweight Championship match, which honestly is one of the matches I am most looking forward to on Saturday. And the Drew McIntyre character continues to be the most interesting thing on the entire show, even more than the Judgment Day. So that aspect of things I enjoyed. One thing that I am not sold on, and we seemingly got the beginnings of it here tonight, was the Miz babyface turn. Now, there were reports online earlier today, there were tweets going around that this was coming, that Miz is going to be positioned going forward as a babyface. And we saw signs of that tonight because they are building to Miz and Gunther. That's what they are building to for the Intercontinental Championship, although he's not being gifted a shot. Miz has to win a four-way match on next week's show if he wants to get a shot at the title. But this is the direction that they are going in now. And we've been here before with The Miz, where they have tried to turn him babyface before, and it might work for a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's not a long-term plan, because The Miz is not a babyface. He's not. Some people are naturally born heels. And, you know, he's been doing the heel thing for so long that could it benefit him to switch things up a little bit, even if it's for 6 months, and then go back to being a heel? Maybe. But if the idea is we're going to turn this guy babyface and you know, this is the way The Miz is going to be for the next year or 2 years, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I do think that the fans at this point, because he's been around for so long, have a certain respect factor for The Miz. I'm not saying that he can't win some of the fans over. I think on a short-term basis, it could work. But Miz as a babyface, kind of like, almost like Charlotte Flair as a babyface. To me, it just doesn't work. It's a role that they are miscast in, but they took the first step tonight towards going in that direction. DIY, back together for the first time in 3 years. Right? We've been talking about it for how many months now, but finally, Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa were back in the ring as tag team partners. New music, they got their gear, right? They're back together. They're fully back together. And also tonight, we had a call-up from NXT of Julius and Brutus Creed, the Creed brothers. And my understanding is that this is likely the beginning of a full-time call-up for them. They're not necessarily done completely yet with NXT. In fact, they're going to be on the show tomorrow night. But it looks like the Creeds have been called up. And honestly, it's probably overdue. I think they've been ready for a while. And what we saw tonight, it was actually a great way to call them up and a great use of the open challenge stipulation, which I have grown so sick of because of the over usage and abuse in both companies of the Open Challenge, but tonight was a good example of the Open Challenge used in a very effective way. This is the way that Open Challenges should be used. And it was a very, very good debut for the Creed brothers tonight. But we also got another little surprise because, of course, as if you couldn't tell here from the artwork, we are celebrating Halloween. We are on All Hallows Eve is almost here. We are less than half an hour away from Halloween. And so we had, of course, the usual trick or street fight match on Raw tonight. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, the women's tag team champions, were in that match. And they showed up in their costumes. Yes, we had the Hart Foundation on the show tonight. There they are. Chelsea Green as Bret the Hitman Hart. Bret wishes he looked that good. And there we have Piper Niven, goatee and all. And I like the beret. As Jim the Anvil Neidhart. So how can I hate on an episode of Raw where we got a Hart Foundation appearance? I give them 7 stars for the costume idea. I only wish I would have thought of it. I would have been on the stream tonight dressed up as the Hitman. I didn't even think of it. But I got my Michael Myers shirt. I'm ready to go. I hope you are too, because this is your Monday Night Raw review. Halloween edition, Monday, October 30th, 2023. Raw open tonight with Rhea Ripley, Dominic, stop me if you've heard this one before, Rhea Ripley, and the Judgment Day, or at least some members of the Judgment Day. It was Rhea, it was Dominic, it was JD McDonagh on their way to the ring. Rhea welcomed us to Monday Night Raw, said that it is the show that the Judgment Day runs. Yeah, no shit. Ripley mentioned that Damian Priest took out Cody Rhodes last week and said Dominic would do the same when he faces Ricochet tonight. She said McDonagh would remind Seth Rollins tonight about what it's like to be an enemy of the Judgment Day. She said Rollins and Drew McIntyre have some decisions to make, and she played up the idea that the person who chooses the Judgment Day will walk out of Crown Jewel as the World Heavyweight Champion. Again, we talked about this last week. They're doing the SummerSlam 92 angle, where they want you to believe that Seth Rollins is joining the Judgment Day, but they also want you to think that Drew McIntyre is joining the Judgment Day. Goes all the way back to that segment in the back weeks ago where we saw Rhea and Drew having a conversation while Ricochet was being interviewed in the foreground. So she's trying to drive a wedge here between these two men. So she said that her 5-way match at Crown Jewel is another opportunity for her to prove her dominance. Sami Zayn's music interrupted, and he came down to the ring. He told Ripley that he wasn't invited, but he is sick to death of hearing Rhea talk about how the Judgment Day has the power, and the Judgment Day have all the championships, and the Judgment Day runs Monday Night Raw. He said people think that if you have power, you can rule with an iron fist. And he said that if that's the name of her game, that's fine. But he said, understand this, his name is not Sami Zayn. He says, my name is Rebellion. He said, my name is Resistance. And I will fight the Judgment Day, whether it's 1-on-1, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 4-on-1, or even 5-on-1. As long as there is a breath of air in my body, I will fight. I will fight the Judgment Day and everything you stand for until the Judgment Day is no more. Man, this guy's promo, he made me want to go bust through my front door and go fight in the street. This guy was so passionate. He was so full of fire here in this promo. A fiery babyface promo here from Sami Zayn. It was like he was about to lead a giant army into a war, which he may well be doing. He may be leading or one of the co-leaders of said team into war at Survivor Series coming up. Speaking of war, we are at war with Naya's Hole. Hey, Base Beer is God of Seduction. Thank you for the $15. Thank you, sir. Ripley laughed at Sammy, said that he could resist all he wants, but they don't need the numbers when it comes to him, and she suggested that Sammy go one-on-one tonight with Damian Priest. And Dominic told Ripley, you know, we should teach him a lesson right now. So everybody dropped their mics. And as they closed in on Sammy, Ricochet's music hit. He He sprinted to the ring to stand side by side with Sami Zayn. And the heels bailed outside the ring. Sami then left the ring. He left Ricochet on his own. And as Sami left the ring, here comes JD McDonagh. He charges in, and he got low-bridged over the top rope to the floor. Dominic went to go make a move on Ricochet. Ricochet turned around, though, and Dom stopped in his tracks, and he bailed outside. They cut to a break ahead of their match, which was coming up next. You know, I'm about as tired of these Judgment Day opening segments as Sami Zayn is. I love the passion, though, you know, during this promo. And we've seen this a few times from him in the last few months, you know, even when he was still with Kevin Owens. You know, Owens' thing was he gets very irritated, right? That became sort of his gimmick. He's a hothead and all that. But every now and then, Sami would cut one of these really spirited promos. And tonight was another example of that. It feels appropriate, though, because if you pick up on what he was saying during the promo, he mentioned specifically it doesn't matter if it's 1-on-1, 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 4-on-1, or 5-on-1. Well, it's not going to be 5-on-1, but when you're talking about 5-on-5, let's say, now you're talking either a traditional Survivor Series elimination match, or you're talking War Games. So. And I didn't expect them to say anything about War Games yet because you want to get past Crown Jewel first. Once Crown Jewel is over, I mean, we could hear about War Games or whatever the plans are for the main event as early as next Monday. But you got to get past this pay-per-view first. Then all roads lead to Survivor Series. So I would imagine we'll finally get a sense of what this Survivor Series main event is going to look like as early as next week. But no, great babyface fire here from Sami, so I enjoyed his portion of things. Otherwise, again, the Judgment Day, when Rhea Ripley comes out and says the Judgment Day runs Raw, she ain't kidding. You can almost set your watch to it. Ricochet stayed out there for his matchup next against Dominic Mysterio. This was not for Dominic's North American Championship, which he defends at Halloween Havoc tomorrow night against Nathan Frazier. They joined the match in progress coming out of the break. Ricochet had a run of offense. He hit a standing shooting star press, led to a two count. Dominic rolled to the floor. Ricochet ran the ropes. He hit a crossbody block through the ropes onto Dominic. That took us into another break. Break after break. Banger after banger. Break after break here on this show. So we had a distraction by JD McDonagh. That allowed Dominic to take control. During the break, Dominic hit three amigos, Ricochet ducked a 619 and hit a springboard, or a handspring, I should say, back elbow. Ricochet hit a flying crossbody and a lion salt, only got two. Dominic raked Ricochet's eye, hit a neck breaker. Ricochet avoided a frog splash. He followed that with a super kick, and he went to the top rope, but Rhea Ripley was there for the distraction. JD McDonagh was there for the distraction. He allowed Dominic to roll him up. Roll him up with a schoolboy. Ricochet gets rolled up. Dominic's holding the tights. His feet are on the ropes. Every possible cheat that you can imagine. The only thing he didn't do was blow mist into the man's eyes or grab some of that Mr. Fuji salt and throw it into his eyes. Or powder. Or maybe some of that cocaine that Dr. James Mitchell was snorting at the NWA show on Saturday. I don't know how many of you saw that. Probably not too many of you actually watched the NWA pay-per-view. But they had a pay-per-view, I think it was on Saturday night. And they cut to a scene during the show and you saw Father James Mitchell and I guess some of his disciples are standing, I don't know where they are, in the back of this building or whatever. They're kind of in the crowd, and they're just snorting cocaine. It's like, okay, all right, hey, I guess that, look, when Billy Corgan said that he was bringing back the territories, I guess he really meant it. I didn't know how literal he was taking that. But yeah, there you go. So there was no cocaine here, but Dominic did cheat to win, because that's what he does. And as the Judgment Day were celebrating, Ricochet superkicked JD McDonagh. He gave Dominic a recoil. He went to the top rope. Rhea Ripley, though, pulled Dom out to safety. No, Tony Khan was not at the NWA pay-per-view. Don't start spreading those rumors now. Tony doesn't need to go to the NWA pay-per-view anyway. If he wants, he's got his own stash. What does he have to go to Billy Corgan for? What is he, his dealer? Hey, Billy. Billy, I'm itching here. Billy, I need a new supply. No, Tony Khan's got enough money. He can buy his own. Anyway, this is a decent match. Nothing special. They call him Dirty Dom for a reason, right? He never wins on his own. So the finish was really no surprise here. We got a DIY video package to promote the fact that tonight was their first match together in 3 years. Hey, Starks, look, I'm just telling you what was on the page. He wants to know if it was real. Oh, I'm just telling you what was on the show. It could have been baking soda. I don't know. Who sits there snorting baking soda? I didn't see the show. I would love to know the context, though, of that segment. I would like to know if they return to that at any point, if they explain why they were snorting whatever they were snorting.
Thank you, and shoosh. Thank you.
I would love to know.
Shoosh, and thank you, and shoosh.
I'll tell you what, though. I guess Billy, he knows how to throw a party. He's making that pitch to CM Punk. Told Punk the other day, look, I can't pay you what you're worth, but I promise you, if you come to the NWA, you'll have some fun. I'll buy you a vegan sandwich. Unfortunately, Punk is straight edge, right? He doesn't snort anything. So I think Billy Corgan may have just screwed himself out of CM Punk. But we got a DIY video package here. I thought they could have done a better job of really explaining their history outside of just showing some highlights together. You know, it was one of these brief highlights packages. They had some footage of them in NXT, but they mainly focused on their recent reunion that we've seen on Raw. So I thought they could have done a little bit of a better job. It would have required them to maybe interview them, have a longer package. You know, one of the things that was very noticeable about tonight's show, tons and tons of vignettes and video packages. And that's not a bad thing. Although I don't think you want to throw too much at people at one time. If you're trying to establish so many people at once, which is what Triple H is trying to do, whether it's DIY, whether it's Xia Li, or any of the other people that they were showing videos for tonight, he's got to establish and reestablish some of these people. But when you establish so many people at once, unfortunately, you know, it might get lost a little bit in all the noise, but tons of vignettes on tonight's show to build certain people up and build their stories out. They aired vignettes as an example for all five of the participants in the Women's Fatal 5-Way at Crown Jewel. So the first one here was for Raquel Rodriguez, and throughout the rest of the show, we had videos for pretty much everybody else, culminating with Rhea Ripley. That was later in the show. But now we get to one of my favorite parts of the show tonight, if not my favorite. It was Alpha Academy, Chad Gable, and Otis. They put out an open challenge on social media over the weekend, or Chad Gable did, and it was accepted by Julius Creed from NXT of the Creed Brothers on behalf of himself and his brother Brutus. His brother Brutai, they accepted the open challenge to come to Raw to wrestle the Alpha Academy. Now, the Creed Brothers, if you don't follow NXT, then I would imagine most of you at least know who the Creed Brothers are. They've been in NXT now for a little over 2 years. Very talented, and they have been ready, in my opinion, for the main roster for a while now. It's like Bron Breakker. You could put Bron Breakker on Raw or SmackDown tomorrow, and he would do fine. He would fit right in. So they like keeping some of them down there because they want to give them some more seasoning, or maybe they're just in the process of trying to come up with ideas for the main roster for some of these people. The Creeds are more than ready for the main roster, and if you didn't think that coming into the show tonight, I think if you watch this match, that would be the conclusion that you would draw here. My understanding is that this is their call-up. They're going to be on NXT tomorrow night. I'm not saying they're done there yet. But I think this is the beginning of a full-time call-up for them and for Ivy Nile. Ivy Nile was with them in their corner as well. But what I said earlier, this is a great use of the open challenge stipulation. when you have the open challenge and you use it every week repeatedly for all of your championships, and again, this is a problem that is not limited only to WWE, that's when it becomes redundant and lazy. But if you're trying to introduce someone new to the main roster, this is a great way to do it. I mean, we've had open challenges before where people have been introduced in this way. Sami Zayn, who was in multiple segments on the show tonight. How do you think Sami Zayn made his debut on Monday Night Raw? It was in a U.S. title open challenge introduced by Bret Hart in Canada, of all places. Sami Zayn comes out to challenge John Cena, right? So the open challenge is a very, can be, I should say, not always, but it can be a very effective way to introduce somebody new. This was a great use of the stipulation. And we started out with Gable and Julius. They had an early grappling exchange before the Creeds did their, and I love this spot. So it's the handoff suplex spot. Julius was down on his ass, and he has Gable in a suplex, a vertical suplex position. And from that position, he gets to his feet. And you can, if you listen to the crowd, right, they were very impressed by this. He goes over to his corner. His brother makes the tag. Tags himself in. He hands him off to Brutus, and Brutus follows through with the suplex. I love that spot. I love that. And the crowd loved it too. Otis tagged in, hit both men with a double clothesline. After a break, Gable caught Brutus in an ankle lock, but he slipped out and hit a Samoan drop for two. Gable gave Brutus a back suplex, and both men tagged out. Otis, as they were coming towards him for a double clothesline, Otis did a forward roll. You don't see too many of those from Otis, but he did a forward roll and then dropped them with a double clothesline of his own. He slammed both men. He hit Julius with a caterpillar elbow drop for two. Julius hit Otis with a standing shooting star press when he made the comeback. And Brutus followed with a standing moonsault. Gable broke up the cover. Brutus tried clotheslines. Otis just no-sold him. Hit him with a world's strongest slam. So he's got him covered. Julius breaks up the pin. And how he breaks up the pin is he hits a 450 splash on basically on top of both men, but really he landed on top of Otis. So he breaks up the pin at the very last second with a 450 splash. He's still laying there because now here comes Chad Gable off the top rope with a moonsault onto the pile of men to then break everything up. And so it was a great sequence. The crowd loved it. They reacted big to it. So now all four men are down. Ivy Nile gets up on the apron. So Maxine Dupri sees this, and she yanks her off the apron. Now we have a face-off between Maxine and Ivy on the outside. Akira Tozawa is out there with Maxine because he's the new star pupil of Alpha Academy. And Tozawa tries to intervene. Nile gives him a German suplex on the floor. Back in the ring, we have Julius. He gets Otis up on his shoulders, and his brother makes the tag. Brutus goes up to the top right. You can see Otis was, he was holding as still as he possibly could. He was holding on for dear life so he didn't fall backwards. And Brutus goes to the top, and he hits the big butter ball, or as he calls it, I guess, the Brutus ball, off the top. This is their version of a doomsday device, basically. Back goes Otis. He falls to the mat, and they pin Otis to win in their Monday Night Raw debut. They did it clean in the middle of the ring. This was a very fun 10 minutes. I very much enjoyed this. An excellent match and a great main roster debut for the Creeds, who are more than ready for primetime. They all shook hands after the match. The crowd cheered. So even though these are two men, and three people, if you include Ivy Nile, that this crowd probably didn't know much about. If they don't watch NXT, they never would have seen them before. By the end of this match, the crowd was, and I can't even say the end, really from almost the opening sequence, they were into this. You know, and they were very impressed, I think, by the Creed. So that's a positive sign for them. Julius and Brutus, they are both very, very good. But Julius is the one to watch. Julius Creed is the one who has main event potential. And I don't know when he'll get there, but he absolutely has main event potential. And one day, and I said this earlier on Twitter, one day, you can mark it down, Julius Creed and Chad Gable are going to have a fantastic match for the Intercontinental Championship. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. When it does, you heard it here first. Backstage, we see Finn Balor and Damian Priest, and they are just casually chatting in the back. They get a knock at the door from a bunch of trick-or-treaters. I'm sure that will be happening here tomorrow night. That's when I put the lights out and I pretend I'm not home. I'm not here. So they invite them in. It's the New Day, dressed as the Judgment Day. And they want candy. There is no candy to be given. Rhea and Dominic walk in. So Kingston and Woods, they leave. Priest tells them, none of what happened in the opening segment earlier would have happened if the entire Judgment Day was out there instead of just the three of you. He says he's got a lot going on. He has Cody at Crown Jewel. He might cash in his money in the bank on a broken down Seth Rollins, or he might cash it in on Drew McIntyre, or he just might cash it in on Roman Reigns. Or he might make LA Knight the shortest reigning champion of all time. Well, that would assume that LA Knight is winning the title, which LA Knight is not winning the title. It's pretty funny, but... So he's floating all of these possibilities, which probably means, none of the above is actually going to happen. But he was wondering. He was wondering something. He said, since we aren't supposed to be leaders, right? There's no one individual leader in the Judgment Day, which there is. Her name is Rhea Ripley. But how is it that you can make matches for other people in the group? So Rhea says, look, there are no leaders. Priest says, okay, let's make tonight then about the Judgment Day. And they joined in and celebrated together, and they all seem to be on the same page. Of course, every time they all seem to be on the same page, they're never on the same page. We already know that. We got to The Miz. And The Miz was out to the ring next to host an episode of Miz TV. The man who was missing from last week's show was supposed to be his guest on the very day that he hit 500 days as the Intercontinental Champion last Monday. Gunther was nowhere to be found. He was supposed to be Miz's guest here. Miz stood in the ring. They had pumpkins set up on a table in the ring as part of the setup. Miz introduced Gunther as his guest. No music. No music. No Gunther. Miz tried again. Nothing. And so he wondered if he needed to start speaking in German. Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci, they walked to the ring. And Kaiser said that Gunther would not come out just because The Miz told him to. Kaiser said that Miz is everything that is wrong with the WWE universe today, and he called him the embodiment of what Imperium despises. Kaiser said The Miz is nothing but a clown. I mean, it's hard to argue that. Miz said that he's been called a lot of things, but one thing he's never been called is another man's sidekick. Incorrect. Incorrect. I believe I called him that a few times when he had his stunt double with Damian Sandow. Just saying. But he pointed at Giovanni Vinci, and he said that that must make Vinci the third wheel. Vinci said that Miz was his wife's sidekick on Total Divas, and Miz said, the man actually speaks. He actually has a voice, and he acted all stunned. So Miz pointed out that his show is actually called Miz and Mrs. and said that Vinci wished. He wished that he could get yelled at by somebody as hot as his wife instead of being yelled at by Ludwig Kaiser. And Miz asked Kaiser if he was really going to let Vinci speak. Vinci said that he speaks when he wants to speak, but Kaiser cut him off and scolded him and said, you only speak when I or Gunther say that you speak. And then we finally heard Gunther's music. People rose to their feet, as they should, when the man comes out. He made his way to the ring. He said he's not here to be Miz's guest. And instead, he mocked The Miz which is not, you know, hard to do. He mocked The Miz for running a talk show in 2023. He added that the ring is sacred to him and said that everything Miz does in here is beneath him. And he said that Miz is beneath him and he does not respect The Miz. Miz said it's not the first time, not the last time that he'll hear something like that. He said he once interviewed an invisible John Cena on Miz TV, and that was more entertaining than Gunther. Miz claimed that whether it's movies, television, or in the ring, he is the biggest star in WWE. I almost got through that without cracking a laugh. He said that he is the biggest star in WWE. That was too big of a lie even for Hulk Hogan. Even the Hulkster was watching this and going, easy there, brother. Easy there, brother. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get carried away now. Because when Hulk Hogan says that, that's pushing it a little too far. You know you've gone too far with the lies. Come on. By the way, what'd you think of that gumball story, huh? Talked about that on the podcast. Good old Marty Jannetty. He's about as trustworthy as Hogan is, but what a fucking great story that was, huh? So Gunther said that once the bell rings, it doesn't matter how entertaining you are. He said that when it gets serious, the only thing that matters is how good of a wrestler you are. Gunther said that that's why The Miz hosts a talk show and why he is the greatest and longest reigning Intercontinental Champion of all time. And Miz piped up. And he said, I can be serious when I want to be. He said, I was serious when I beat Randy Orton to win my first WWE championship. I was serious when I beat John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania. And I was serious when I won my second WWE championship years later. And he said, he wanted to make something perfectly clear. He said that he was very serious when he made that Intercontinental title sitting on Gunther's shoulder right now. The most prestigious and relevant title in all of WWE. And he has no problem doing it again. So Gunther laughed at Miz and asked if he was being serious. And he said Miz is one of the great sports entertainers of all time. And he's all about creating moments. Gunther said that they could create one of the most memorable moments in the history of Miz TV right now. And he said something in another language. At that point, Kaiser went and grabbed one of the pumpkins on the table that had the Miz's logo carved into it. And he smashed it on the ground. Gunther mocked Miz. So Miz attacked Kaiser and Vinci. And Gunther ended up dropping him and said, you're not in my league. Miz attacked Gunther as Gunther went to leave, but he got held back by Kaiser and Vinci. So Gunther booted him. And at that point, Miz realized that he was outnumbered here. So he left, and as he was leaving, DIY's music played. They have new music. Johnny Gargano talked about this on his Twitch channel the other day. Brand new music that they made specifically for DIY as a team. What little bit I heard of it, it didn't sound bad. It was kind of hard to hear the entire song, but I'll tell you what little bit I heard is better than the Rebel Heart cover, the new version of Rebel Heart he's been running around with, so I'd much rather hear him using this music than that music. But again, they were coming out. Miz was leaving. And Miz blew right past them. I said earlier today when this rumor first surfaced about Miz being termed babyface, because this was going around on social media a few hours ago, that they would be turning him babyface and they would be aligning him in some way with DIY. Now, we didn't see the DIY alliance here, although he did walk right past them. And I think that was done on purpose. That was a sign. There will likely be some sort of alliance between DIY and The Miz. There's a past relationship with The Miz and Tommaso Ciampa, right? From before Ciampa, you know, got hurt. So it does look like what we'll probably end up with is a 3-on-3 feud where Miz will end up linking up in some way with Gargano and Ciampa, and they will come together to take on Imperium. I don't know if that'll be just a television match on TV one week or what. But for now, there was nothing with Miz and DIY. But I said, you know, we've been through this before with The Miz. At least once, maybe twice, where they turn him babyface. And at first, it might take. You know, the fans might be able to get behind him at first. But invariably, it fails. And the reason it fails is because The Miz is a heel at heart. He's just an easier guy to hate when he's on television doing his shtick. He's all full of himself, and he's out there calling himself the most must-see this and the most must-see that, and just acting like a fool and acting like a clown, as Gunther said in this segment. Or Kaiser and Vinci, whoever called him a clown. And so they're going to try again. They're going to try again with The Miz. It looks like that they're going to use him in a babyface role. If they're going to do it, the story with Gunther is probably the best way to go. Because the story that they were telling here in this segment is that Gunther is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. Well, Miz is saying that I was serious when I took that title and made it more relevant than any other title in this company. And that's true. Because there was a period of time that I know some of you in the live chat were probably big fans of it. When Miz held the Intercontinental Championship and had Maurice with him, and this would have been 2016, 2017, he took that title and made it more prestigious and valuable than it had felt in a decade. At least going back to the feud that Chris Jericho had with Rey Mysterio, which was probably almost 10 years before that, maybe a little less. So there was a period of time where Miz, you know, was doing big things with the IC title. I remember him having a pretty damn good feud with Dolph Ziggler. I think there was a match at No Mercy, maybe in 2017, that the two of them had that was excellent. So if they're going to go in this direction with Miz, him trying to recapture the title that, and I think he's, what is he, like an 8-time Intercontinental Champion? He has a lot of history with that belt. That probably is the better way to go. You know, to show a more serious side of him and tell the story of him trying to recapture past glory and bring that championship back and take it away from Gunther and prove that you're not the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. You may be the longest reigning, but that doesn't make you the best. That's me. That's not a bad story to try to tell if you're going to try to turn Miz babyface. But I'm telling you right now, it might work in the short term, but this is not a long-term plan for Miz. And also, you know, Miz just does not seem like a great matchup for Gunther. Now, I'm sure when the two of them have their match, it's going to be really good. Because I have yet to see a bad Gunther match in WWE. So we already know it's going to be very good. And we've seen Miz have very good matches also in the past. Just not as often as Gunther. It depends, I think, on who he's in the ring with. So, not the best opponent stylistically for Gunther. But clearly, this is what we are now heading towards. But again, short shelf life for Miz as a babyface, if this is what they're going with. Now, backstage after a break, just to piggyback on this, Miz confronted Adam Pearce in his office, and he said that that was the most disrespected that he has felt ever in his entire career in WWE. And I thought to myself, really? I would think that 15,000 people calling you, you know, tiny balls every single week would probably trump that, but evidently not. Evidently, this was the most embarrassed that he's ever been in WWE. So Miz wanted an Intercontinental Championship match with Gunther. Pierce said that he couldn't just give him a title match, but he could earn one. In fact, Pierce was about to meet with somebody else who has that same goal in mind. And in walked Bronson Reed, who told Imperium, if you remember on last week's show, hey, go tell your boss I'm ready for round two. So Reed asked Miz if you have a problem with that. And Miz noted that Reed just had a title match and lost. And so Reed took the shades off. He glared at him. Miz told Reed that he would be the person to take the title off of Gunther. I like that they're setting up multiple challengers for Gunther, but I will still sit here and tell you, all roads still lead to Chad Gable. Like, we're going to get a four-way on next week's show. Bronson Reed is in there. Miz is in there. Ricochet is in there. Okay, Miz will probably win, unless they're going to tell the long story here, and they're going to drag this out for months, which I have no interest in seeing. Just give Miz the match already, please. This is a placeholder feud at best. Chad Gable is still the end goal here. I still believe They told us as much on television, right? His daughter in the front row, crying her eyes out.
My father-in-law.
Zooming in, they zoomed in on this poor girl's face. Chad Gable cut that promo backstage. I've never seen the man more serious in my life. He swore to God, that he would take that championship from Gunther. How are you going to have a baby face go and swear to God and promise his little girl that he's going to take that title away from the big mean man and not have him do it and not follow through? That's the story. It's David and Goliath. It's the story. The only question is, do they do it at the Royal Rumble? Or are they going to drag that out until WrestleMania? Because I think Gunther should be involved in something much bigger than that at WrestleMania. But maybe they want to hold off and give Chad Gable his WrestleMania moment. But whoever they throw in front of Gunther now, all these names, just like he beat Ciampa, he beat Reed, right? Very good matches. Now he'll wrestle Miz. These were all just placeholders, I think, to just get us into the new year before they finally go ahead and they take that title off of him and they put it on Chad Gable. And there are some people who still think I'm absolutely crazy. You're out of your mind. Chad Gable's never going to win that championship. He'll never have singles gold in WWE. Well, if this company is all about stories and storytelling, you may not like Chad Gable, but that's a great story to tell. And I still believe that that will be the end result here. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm still a believer. Maybe it's the Mets fan in me, right? You got to believe. I still believe every year that we're going to win a World Series, and then I get fucked when they don't. And something happens, they suck, there's an injury, right? They could be one out away from the World Series, and the fucking glare from the moon will get in their eyes, and he'll drop the ball. It's always something with this team. But I believe one day it will happen. I may be sitting here with a beard and wrinkles in my face, but it will happen one day. They will be champion, and so will Chad Gable. See, Sami Zayn now, man, he's got me in this mood now, or even I'm cutting passionate promos here. Sami's got me all fired up here. You got to believe. That's right. Skip Bayless, by the way. Fuck Skip Bayless. Not you, the real one. But just believe. All right, we had Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, DIY. Against Imperium, Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. Gunther did not stick around for this. After a break, Vinci set Ciampa up for a spike pile driver, but Ciampa avoided it, and Gargano took out Kaiser. Ciampa avoided Vinci's run up the ropes moonsault, which was very impressive, except for the fact that he missed. So he crashed and burned. And then immediately he got taken out with a knee strike. Gargano tagged in. We got the old meet in the middle DIY finish where the opponent is on his knees in the middle of the ring. Gargano comes in from one corner, Ciampa from the other. The double knee strike takes him out. And DIY picks up their first win in 3 years. Who is Skip Bayless? Hey, Thomas, you should be very grateful that you don't know who Skip Bayless is. Someone you do not need to know. This is another very good tag team match. I like the Creed Brothers match better, but very good match. With a proper build, this could have been an NXT TakeOver main event back in the day. You know, Imperium was a very good team. They still can be. But in NXT, they were a very good team. The only thing with them is, you know, Gunther aside, because Gunther is obviously, he's great, and he's protected, but Kaiser and Vinci, especially when they're a team, they've never been treated seriously in any way on the main roster. So it's too bad that they haven't invested more in really pushing them, because this could have been a much bigger match at some point. Maybe it still can one day, but for what it was here, though, it was very good. And once again, Vinci fails Kaiser. So his future in Imperium, it's not looking good. We got a Shinsuke Nakamura promo with subtitles. And he said that he is still looking for his sacrifice. He asked if the person wanted... Oh, speaking of which, I did see the news that Creed apparently is getting back together and they're going on tour. Is this true? Is Creed getting back together? Because that's all I used to hear on WWE television years ago, 20 years ago. It was all Creed. I saw I know the word sacrifice, and it made me think of Creed. So he asked if the person wanted him to choose him or if they wanted to step up. He said, go ahead, step forward, awaken me. What are you afraid of? And he encouraged this person, whoever it may be, to show themselves. And then we had the funniest part of the entire show. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. Michael Cole has been doing this for a very long time. Even Michael Cole is not immune to this either. So they cut to the announcers at ringside, and Michael Cole is giving an introduction to a video package for Candice LeRae. I said a lot. This is the night of video packages here. As he's pitching it to the video package for Candice, instead of saying Candice LeRae, he says Candice Michelle. Obviously, it's not a Candice Michelle video package. We come back, and Cole says to Wade Barrett, you know, go ahead. And Barrett says that Candice Michelle was from 2008. This was for Candice LeRae. So Cole laughed at his mistake. He apologized. I'm sure he genuinely felt bad. He apologized to Candice LeRae as she was making her way to the ring with Indy Hartwell. And Cole said, getting old is a terrible thing. Indeed it is, Michael. Indeed it is. Xia Li against Candice LeRae. Li hit LeRae with a knee strike and a roundhouse kick. That was it. That took down Candice LeRae, who's, you know, 98 pounds. One roundhouse kick, she goes down. The referee immediately goes over to check on her. She sold it like she was knocked out. Xia didn't go for a cover. Referee backed her away. And Candice tried to get back to her feet. She stumbled back down into the corner. Finally, the referee called for the stoppage and announced Xia Li as the winner, and the medical staff came over to check on Candice. Now, the way they played this up, the fans, I think, in the crowd were genuinely concerned that it might be a legitimate injury, which was the whole point. But because of that, the finish felt very flat because the people didn't know how to react to this. They didn't know if it was part of the show, if she was really hurt. It was pretty clear it was all part of the show, but that, I think, is why the crowd reacted in the way that it did. It died a death in front of these people. But this is how you try to build Xia up as a killer, and you try to build that roundhouse kick up as a kill shot. She is heading into a match soon with Becky Lynch. So this is what you have to try to do, even though she's probably going to go in there. She may lose. I don't know, Becky. She just put over Lyra Valkyria the other night. So who knows? Maybe they have multiple matches. Maybe Xia Li actually gets a win on Becky Lynch. She's probably not going to win, but you have to at least try to build her up. And this is one way of doing that. So poor Candice was the sacrificial lamb here. Backstage, Jey Uso approached Sami Zayn, said that his promo earlier got him all fired up. Me too. But again, he was talking to Sammy in the back. He wished him luck in his main event tonight against Damian Priest. Jackie Gleason walked up to interview Jey about the Judgment Day, and Jey said that Sammy would handle business tonight, and Cody Rhodes would handle business at Crown Jewel. Jey thought that he and Cody should regain the tag team titles. Maybe they'll go back after the tag belts. And maybe he would also see how Rhea Ripley felt about things. So now we come to the Drew McIntyre video that I mentioned earlier. Michael Cole sets up the video package, and it opens with Drew McIntyre walking into the WWE Performance Center. So he's sitting in the stands of an empty Performance Center, and he's talking about winning the WWE Championship in an empty building. He talked about winning the Royal Rumble in 2020, said that he had the fans behind him, and it was going to be this whole stadium full of people that were going to be there chanting his name at WrestleMania. And then he said, everything changed overnight. Media reports were shown about the start of the pandemic, everything being shut down. McIntyre was shown saying that he couldn't believe that WrestleMania would not be held in front of the fans. Some kind of footage of him backstage in March of 2020 saying this. And they aired footage of McIntyre hitting Brock Lesnar with a Claymore kick at WrestleMania. He said that it was the biggest moment of his career and nobody was there to celebrate it. And he said that he did what he's always done. He did his job. He said he put his body through hell so that he could be a champion that the people could be proud of. He said that he fought and clawed to get back in position to win the title again at Clash at the Castle, only for the Bloodline to ruin it for him. McIntyre said that he can make it right at Crown Jewel. He said it's only another title defense for Seth Rollins, but for him, it's everything. McIntyre said Rollins was his first title defense in 2020, and at Crown Jewel, he will be Seth's last. This was excellent. This was great. So he wasn't actually physically on the show tonight, but another quality segment with Drew McIntyre. And again, I just love the fact that they're really focusing in on this feeling of resentment that he has been carrying around with him for so long. You know, it's not just the Jey Uso thing where he was brought to Raw and the Bloodline, right? This goes back to 2020. This is a 3-year story. That was supposed to be his crowning achievement at Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay. He was going to beat Brock Lesnar and become the champion and get the big pyro celebration, and he was denied that. And it's terrible that he didn't have that moment. You know, it's I'm sure, on a realistic level, behind the scenes, he was very upset and has carried that around with him. And so I like the fact that they're hearkening back to that, that this is really where all this resentment stems from. The Bloodline costing him the chance to Clash at the Castle, that was his moment of redemption where he could have won the championship in front of a big stadium crowd. And again, he got fucked. So he's heading for a heel turn, but you can see where, okay, you know what? I can understand why he would be so upset. I can understand why he would be acting this way. He would be so resentful and so pissed off. They followed this up with the rebuttal from Seth Rollins, which was about as great of a rebuttal, frankly, as this promo from Drew was. Rollins comes to the ring before his scheduled match with JD McDonagh. And he said that he's a fan of Drew. So he would be respectful in response to what Drew just said. He says, "Boo freaking who?" And then he said, he did his best Jack Perry impression, and he said, "Cry me a river." I didn't think I'd be hearing that again in a wrestling promo this year, but here we are. "Cry me a river, you big Scottish baby." He said, "Everyone was fighting their battles in some way 3 years ago." He said, "There were people who didn't know when they would get their next paycheck. There were people who didn't know how or when they were going to be able to buy groceries. Some people didn't know when they would see their loved ones again, and some never had the chance to." And I just watched that Vladimir documentary, the Vladimir Superfan documentary. I just reviewed it on the podcast on Sunday. Watched it over the weekend. And in the documentary, he talked about COVID hit in March, and his mom ended up in a nursing home, unrelated. But COVID was sweeping through nursing homes in parts of the country, and a lot of older people died, and his mother was one of them. You know, so COVID hits, and his mom is gone the very next month. There were a lot of people who unfortunately have stories like that. You know, there are people that I knew. No close friends, thankfully, but there were people I knew, work acquaintances, people who were, you know, even a little bit younger than me, who died, you know, in those early days when this shit first hit. So, you know, it was a very serious thing for a lot of people. And that's what Seth was going for in this promo here. He said, "Excuse me for not feeling sorry for you that you didn't get to win the WWE Championship the way that you dreamt it." He brought up McIntyre blaming the Bloodline. He said, "Cry me a river, get in line." Told McIntyre to get in line with guys like Sami Zayn, guys like Cody Rhodes, who Rollins admitted he does not like. And there is actually, there is a dislike there between the two of them, a legitimate one, even though they worked together, they had great matches together, they are not fond of each other for whatever reason. I do believe that is more than just storyline. But he said, "You don't hear those guys asking for a pity party." And they got screwed over by the Bloodline also. Rollins conceded that McIntyre was a hell of a champion, and if McIntyre can pry it from his waist, he'll be the first man to shake his hand and call him the champion, just like he did 3 years ago. Rollins said he's not the same guy he was back then. He said he's not the Messiah. He's not the architect. At that point, J.D. McDonough ambushed Rollins from behind. The referee pulled McDonough back into the corner, went to go check on Seth, asked him, are you okay? Can you do this? Do you want to wrestle this match? And when Seth said that he was ready, they rang the bell to start the match. Before we get to the match, though, as great as the McIntyre video was, that was an equally great rebuttal from Seth Rollins. Because we got, you know, a more serious Seth Rollins, not the clownish Seth Rollins, which I always appreciate it when he gets serious, and it worked here in this promo, and the points he made were very valid. So while I can understand Drew McIntyre's resentment, you can understand that, right? It's an easy story to follow. Everything Seth Rollins said is 100% true. Dude, get over it, right? You still won the championship. You still got to achieve your dream. You didn't get to do it in front of 75,000 people. Woe is me. People are dead, right? You can buy into what Seth is saying. Boo freaking who? So again, these dueling promos were very, very strong on this show. And it got me even more interested in seeing their match on Saturday. And I was already looking forward to the match. But this works if McIntyre goes heel. And I think he should. I think he will. If that is still the plan, it's the perfect setup to that. Rollins comments back to Drew. Especially if Drew goes in there and loses at Crown Jewel, it's only going to send him that much further over the edge. So if the idea ultimately is the heel turn, this is perfect. You know, this just feeds into that perfectly. But we did have Seth Rollins in what they said was his first singles match in 4 months, taking on J.D. McDonough. Rollins was all over McDonough in the early going, despite the fact that he got ambushed right before the match. After a commercial, McDonough was all of a sudden in control. Rollins fought back. He hit a sling blade and a running knee strike for two. McDonough avoided a curb stomp and blocked a pedigree before hitting a headbutt. And boy, I mean, he's got the big head for it. He's got that Funko Pop head. They traded counters until McDonough hit a Spanish fly. Rollins followed with a buckle bomb and went to the top. He got distracted by Damian Priest, who walked out. He had a referee with him, and he had his Money in the Bank briefcase. Rollins tried a frog splash. McDonough got the knees up, though, immediately cradled him, only got a two. Came back, Rollins did, with an avalanche back suplex, which was from a great height, and it looked great, and it sounded great, and it was incredibly stupid. For a guy who supposedly has such a bad back, such a badly broken back, for this guy to go up there and do an avalanche back suplex. Even the announcers mentioned that that probably wasn't the wisest thing for him to be doing. Let alone, you know, 5 days before this big championship defense against Drew McIntyre. And he followed that with a pedigree and a curb stomp, and he picked up the win. So Rollins, at that point, he left the ring, went outside and got in Priest's face. Rollins invited him to make a move, and Priest thought better of it, and it did not do so. Sami Zayn against J.D. McDonough has been added to the pre-show. So I feel like they haven't had a kickoff match in a while. Well, we're getting another kickoff match for the first time in a while on Saturday. And so it's a 1 o'clock Eastern start time for the main show, but the kickoff show starts at noon Eastern. And Sami Zayn being on the show, I'm not surprised. I mean, after the reaction he got, that first Saudi Arabia show that he did back in May, and the reaction that he and Kevin Owens got, I mean, how could they leave him off this show? At least it gets him on the show. Makes sense for him to be there. Backstage, Ricochet complained to Adam Pearce about the interference in his match earlier against Dominic. And Pearce said that Ricochet had a hell of a showing, and he offered him the chance to earn a shot at the Intercontinental title. Ricochet said that sounded great, but he still has a bone to pick with Dominic Mysterio. I'm thinking, dude, don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? Just take it, say thank you, sir, and walk away. What are you arguing for? Chelsea Green and Piper Niven entered the picture, and they were dressed as the Hart Foundation. If you missed it earlier, if you tuned in late, there you go. Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart back on Monday Night Raw. I applaud the goatee game on the part of Piper Niven. I am impressed. She looks so lifelike. She also did the Anvil laugh, by the way. So they were talking to Adam Pearce. I honestly wasn't even really paying attention to what they were saying. I was just focused on their costumes. They walked away. Ivar and Valhalla showed up. And Valhalla said the gods demanded that they talk to Pierce about the Intercontinental Championship. And Pierce said okay, and they walked off, and Pierce said that he needed a drink. That's the second week in a row that Adam Pearce has said, I need a drink. I'm starting to think this man has a problem. He may need to seek some help. Becky Lynch was interviewed backstage by Jackie Redmond. Lynch was not happy about losing the NXT Women's Championship, but said that if she had to lose it, she was happy to lose it to someone like Lyra Valkyria, someone as hungry as she was. She defended the title. She said, more during her 42-day reign as the NXT Women's Champion than Rhea Ripley and Roman Reigns have defended their respective titles all year. That's pretty fucking sad. It's true, and it's very sad. She said that she doesn't need the title needs her. And at that point, Xia Li showed up and accused Becky of ducking her. Becky said, look, if you want to, we can go right now. And Xia said they would fight, but they would fight on her time. If you did not see the match from Halloween Havoc last week, Halloween Havoc Night 1, Night 2 is tomorrow night. Becky Lynch lost her NXT Women's Championship to Lyra Valkyria, which I was not expecting that, and I still frankly do not see all of the things in Lyra that Shawn Michaels and them apparently do, but she had a great match with Becky, and if you did not see it, I would say that you should go back and check it out. It's worth, at least for that main event, it's worth going out of your way to watch. And, you know, boy, since she got left off that SummerSlam card in August, I mean, you look at what Becky has done since the beginning of September, the match with Trish, the Extreme Rules match with Tiffany Stratton, that match with Lyra on Halloween Havoc last week. Something lit a fire under this woman, that's for sure. I guess being left off probably the second or third biggest show of the year might do that to you. And then it was time. It was time for the annual. Oh, yeah. It was that part of Monday Night Raw. I didn't know that that was what they meant when they said Monday Night Raw, but here we are. Bunch of new people in the chat. The first thing they hear is, it's time for the anal trick-or-treat street fight. Well, that's what they called it. No, for the annual trick-or-treat street fight. You know, AEW just had their own absurd version of this on Collision on Saturday. They had Hikaru Shida against Abaddon in a very similar kind of match. In WWE, they do this every year around the holidays. So, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, they always have their gimmick match. Now people are wondering, man, I should have watched Raw tonight. What the hell? The women were in an anal trip. No, annual. I don't know what the fuck. I don't know what I wrote here. Trick or street fight. Leave me alone. Stop making fun of me. What's the matter with you people? Now, if you were wondering how this match was received by the live crowd, it sounded like the crowd died and turned into zombies. So that tells you everything you need to know. Even the announcers. When the announcers start making fun of the match, like, it's so bad, it's just hilarious. We'll just start cracking jokes on it. I mean, that tells you the kind of match it was. Natty came out cosplaying as the bunny from AEW. Chelsea and Piper came out to Bret Hart's entrance music, and sadly, not the Jim Johnston version or the Jimmy Hart version, which was the the mono version, the first version of the Hart Foundation music, which I assume they no longer have the rights to. Solo was watching a different Raw show than the rest of us. Well, you know, when you get bored of Monday Night Raw, you got to blow off some steam somehow. What are you going to do? So, there were pumpkins and pumpkin pies set up on the apron, and they had other various Halloween items at ringside. Chelsea slammed a pie. She slammed a pie in Natty's face, and she came back by hitting Green with a candy corn kendo stick. Chelsea placed Natty on a table outside that was covered in Halloween items, and she climbed up on the barricade. She came off for a leg drop, and Natty moved out of the way. And Chelsea went through the table. Chelsea came back. She pulled pumpkins off another table. And when she pulled up the last pumpkin, which was a big, heavy, giant pumpkin, she got spooked because underneath the pumpkin, with her head popping up from the table, was Nikki Cross. So it looked like her head was basically like on a platter on the table. And so this terrified Chelsea Green, who dropped the pumpkin on her own head. And so now she's pumpkin head and she can't see and she's kind of, you know, she's flailing around. But Nikki Cross is just staring blankly ahead, right? She's not moving a muscle. I don't even think she was blinking, just looking straight ahead. Back inside, though, Green dumped a bag of candy corn all over the mat. Candy corn, I mentioned this before, right? Candy corn. Candy corn is disgusting. I don't know. Candy corn and cotton candy. I don't get it. Never have, never will. Not a candy corn guy. But there was candy corn all over the mat. Natty ended up powerbombing Chelsea into the candy corn, got a two count out of it. She followed up with a sharpshooter. Piper Niven climbed up onto the apron to distract her. And Piper grabbed Natty. It's like the anvil grabbed Natty, held her while she tried to slam a pie in her face, but Natty moved. Piper Niven took a pie to the face by accident. Natty knocked Niven off the apron, but then Chelsea hit Natty with the unprettier and pinned her. Bret Hart is rolling around in his grave, and he is not even dead. Sami Zayn against Damian Priest. This is our main event on this show. You know what looks interesting? I don't know how many of you have seen the commercials for this movie, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is coming up in a few weeks. They have a horror movie coming out called Thanksgiving. Someone dressed up as a pilgrim who goes around killing people. Looks kind of interesting. Priest lifted Zayn up, hit a falcon arrow, and he covered him for a near fall. Sammy was able to back elbow his way out of the corner when Priest came in, and he locks the fingers, chops the chest, walks the ropes, lands a tornado DDT. Priest rolls outside. Sammy hits the ropes. He tries to dive, but Damian moves out of the way. Sammy ends up outside anyway, but he gets goozled and chokeslammed on the apron. That took us into the final break of the night. After the break, it was not long before we saw Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. Priest hit the Reckoning after Zayn got distracted. Michael Cole noted that was the old finishing move that we used to see Damian Priest use. It's very similar to the Crossroads that Cody uses. And he said it looks like Damian might be sending a message. Priest went for a razor's edge, and Zayn slipped away. Then he went for a corner splash, which Zayn avoided. Balor climbed up on the apron. He distracted the referee. Dominic climbed up on the apron as well. He hit Zayn with a cheap shot. Jey Uso ran out, not without his music, of course. Jey Uso comes down, he takes out Dom, he takes out Balor, then he gets in the ring and he delivers a super kick to Damian Priest for the very lame disqualification. So Priest, Balor, Dominic, they put the boots to Sammy and Jey afterwards. Here comes Cody Rhodes, limping down to the ring, selling the ankle injury from last week. Cody cleared Priest from the ring, he followed him to the floor, he slammed his head off the announce desk. In the ring, Jey super kicked Dom. Zayn sent Dom to the floor with a clothesline. Zayn and Jay each hit stereo dives at the same time. That took out Balor and Dominic. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ring, Cody sets Priest up for Crossroads on top of the announce desk. But here comes Funko Pop McDonough, who comes out and he pulls Priest off the table. So Damian escapes. He's gone. Okay, he goes off into the crowd. Right, Mike? Right, Mike? I got my buddy with me here. I can't do this stream by myself. So we got our good friend here, Michael Myers. Say hello. Say hello, Mike. Right, Mike? Mike enjoyed Raw tonight, didn't you? Yeah, all right. Same fucking expression all the time from this guy. So Priest escapes. So JD McDonagh, though, is still there. And Sami Zayn has him, and Cody motions for him, bring him to me. He wants JD McDonagh. So Sammy gives him to him. He gives Crossroads to McDonagh on top of the announce desk, which does not break. Cody then grabs a microphone. Sammy informs him the crowd was chanting one more time. And Cody is nothing if not a man of the people. So he decides to give him another Crossroads on top of the announce desk. And again, it does not break. Cody grabs the mic. He gets in the ring. Now he is looking at Damian Priest, who is in the aisleway. He's on stage. And he says, Priest tried to take him out last week and was unsuccessful. Cody said that his story is that he gets knocked down, but he gets back up. He says, Priest wants to know what Damian Priest's story is. He asked him if his story is that he has a briefcase that has him close to immortality, but he is not the leader of the Judgment Day. He goes, no, you're a walk behinder. You walk behind Rhea Ripley, you walk behind Finn Balor, and you even walk behind Dominic Mysterio. He walks behind himself. Jesus. Must have a big ass. Walks behind Dominic Mysterio, right? Everyone, ooh, that's a bridge too far there, right? Cody says that when Priest thinks it's someone else, he needs to know it's always me. Cody says that he's back on his path and it goes straight through Priest at Crown Jewel. This was a great fiery promo here from Cody Rhodes. Got two great fiery babyface promos on this show. To open the show, it was Sami Zayn. To close the show, it was Cody Rhodes. The briefcase will not be on the line. For those wondering if they were going to, you know, put the briefcase on the line, the answer is no. The main event was fine, you know, until the crappy finish, but they couldn't beat Damian Priest before his match on Saturday. That wasn't going to happen. And so they gave the hard sell at the end for the Cody match. I thought that was effective. And the Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre stuff, McIntyre's character in particular, continues to be the most, to me anyway, interesting part of Monday Night Raw, even more than the chaos within the Judgment Day. So I thought it was a good final push to Crown Jewel. It was definitely an improvement over last week's show. I will be honest with you, though. I am ready for Crown Jewel to be over so we can get to Survivor Series. I'm ready for Survivor. All this talk now about War Games and, you know, what are they going to do, and Roman Reigns is going to be on the show or he's not going to be on the show. CM Punk, people think CM Punk is going to be there. I'm ready to just get to Survivor Series and be done with this. And so next week, when we are here talking about Raw, we will officially be on the road to Survivor Series, and that is a good thing. So let's take a look at the Twitter poll. 65.5% thumbs up, 34% thumbs down for tonight's show. With about 570 votes in, you can vote on Twitter at Solomonster. I should also point out that I do have my early Crown Jewel predictions up. I know it's early in the week yet, but if you want to check it out, it was part of episode 832 this weekend, but they are now up on the YouTube channel as well. So you can go and check out my predictions for the show on Saturday and leave your own in the comments section. Or if you want to send in a chat here tonight, what do you think is going down? What do you think is going to be the finish of Roman Reigns and LA Knight? Or Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre coming up on Saturday? Let me know your thoughts. A lot of different ways it could go down. I mapped out my predictions, and now you can let me know yours. So we're right around 375 likes. We're 15 shy of 400. So we're lagging here for Be the Booker. So if you want Be the Booker, get those likes up here, because when I am done with the Super Chats, we're either going to do it or we're going to be out. And man, that would suck to not do that on Halloween. So come on. The Real CSO2 kicking us off here on the Super Chats for the night. Which brand do you see the Creed brothers being on if they are called up? Either or. I don't know that it really matters, because the tag team divisions on both sides are pretty, I'd say they're pretty evenly matched at this point. If I had to make a prediction, I would think the Creeds end up on SmackDown. Just the feeling I have. But honestly, I don't really think it matters. As long as they're on the main roster, I think they're more than ready for that call-up. Don't you agree? The Winston Slip. The $2 Super Chat. Will you be watching the Iron Claw in theaters? I don't know. Probably not. I will see it at some point. Am I going to actually go to the theater to see it? I haven't decided yet. I just know it's going to be very depressing. The trailer made it look pretty good, but I just know it's going to be such a depressing movie. Part of me kind of wants to maybe go to the theater just to gauge what other people's reactions are to the story. So, well, let's see. Lady Fire Panda with a $20 Super Chat. I watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, and after almost 10 years of waiting for the movie, I am Wait. That movie was in development for over 10 years? Why? First time I heard of this movie is when it got released. They only mentioned it 5,000 times on Raw last week. Fire Panda says, I am extremely happy and cannot recommend it enough. I think you would like it. Give it a watch. Well, I appreciate the recommendation. I'm going to probably have to check that out. It's on Peacock, I think, right? I might check that out. Fire Panda with another $20 Super Chat. Hey, Fire Panda is on fire tonight, man, with memberships and Super Chats. I appreciate you. Arabian Knight, who do you think will be the first African-American world champion in AEW in the next 1 to 2 years? Swerve or Starks? They have similar strengths. I am undecided. I hate to break it to you, but you sound more convinced than I do that there will be an African-American world champion in the next 2 years in AEW. I'm not so sure about that. Of those two, I think it would be Swerve. Noel Mulligan. Hi, Solomonster. Happy Halloween from Cork, Ireland. Yes, happy Halloween. You may be ahead of me, right, with the time zone? So it may already be Halloween where you are. So happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy Halloween and happy birthday. I don't know when your birthday is, but happy birthday. Skywalker. My butt cheeks are still chapped because you did not approve of Ministry Undertaker against JBL on last week's Be the Booker. For crying out loud, just ring the bell. I am a fan, so now you must service me. Well, first of all, putting butt cheeks and service in the same Super Chat, yeah, I don't think so. I think you're writing into the wrong stream, Skywalker. I don't know where you're going with that Super Chat. I don't think I want to know. God of Seduction, great Halloween graphic, all the horror villains and characters. You're only missing Naya's hole. Oh, you can blame Steve for that. That was Steve Mello put that together for me. And of course, he is the guru here, so thank him for that. He did a tremendous job on that. Thank you, sir. Tom Phelan, he's feeling pretty good tonight. I thought my Macho Man costume was good, but Piper and Chelsea with... win Halloween with that costume. It was very well done. Dorian Moore, Jason against Victor Crowley. Last man standing, who wins? I gotta go with Jason. Come on, man. I mean, I like the Hatchet movies, but come on, it's a poor man's Jason. We got Abu Sika chiming in with $1.99. Says Natalia, like we give a shit. Thank you, Abu Sika. Right, straight to the point. God of Seduction. I just saw on World Star, of all places, a video of Vince walking with a cane. Not looking too great. He was with Undertaker at the Fury fight. Creative decisions aside, hope he's all right for the most he's fine. He's fine. There were tons of interviews with him, and he was being his usual self. But that die job is something else. M. Mills, again, thank you for the happy Halloween. Appreciate that. God of Seduction, Skip Bayless will take you higher to a place where blind men see. Okay. Super Pony, Halloween 2 or Halloween 4? See, that's an interesting one. I like Halloween 4. I really do. Man, you got me there, you know? It was such a missed opportunity with that ending, too. But you know what? I think I go Halloween 4. I think I go Halloween 4 over 2. But I enjoyed both of them. Near says, stop anti-Semitism on campuses and anywhere else. That's a fine message to communicate. MJF was talking about that very subject on Twitter earlier today. DEH Sires, Chelsea Green using the unprettier on someone who does not have a father. Oh, man. Somewhere Christian is watching with a smile on his face. You know, I didn't even put two and two together on that. Wow. Man. Retro KOH, this is not the wrong stream for butt cheeks and servicing. We had an anal trick or street fight after all. Well, you know what? That's a great point. You make a great point. I stand corrected. And Silver Tower coming in with a $15 super. Oh, I knew it. I knew it was cut. You caught me off guard there, and it took me a second to realize, wait a minute, it's the $15 one, and then boom, there you go. Well, somebody wanted the extra horror movie villain. There you go. There it is. Right there. You got it. Well, who do we have here? We have Michael, we have Jason in the graphic, right? We have Pinhead, Freddy, Leatherface, Chucky, and Jigsaw. And of course, Ghostface. Who are we missing? Who are we missing from that graphic? Like, who would belong in there? I mean, we can name a bunch. Like, Candyman doesn't belong in there. Is there anybody missing who really should be in there who isn't? Boney with the $2. Halloween 1 or Halloween Resurrection? Okay, now I know you're just being silly now. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. But I do like all the horror questions, since this is the last Halloween stream we'll be doing here for this season. Pennywise? No. No, I don't put Pennywise in there. Cryptkeeper? Cryptkeeper, maybe. See, I was never like an it guy. So Pennywise doesn't do anything for me. Vince Russo. Okay, maybe. Yeah, maybe Russo should be in there. Oh, Jeepers Creeper. Yeah, what was that thing in Jeepers Creepers? Oh. Did it have a name? Well, you guys think on that a little bit more. The goal tonight was 400 likes, and I'm happy to say that we are now at 415. So we did it. We did it. Let's do a spooky edition of Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
All right. It would not be a Halloween stream if we did not do a Be the Booker set. Let's kick things off here. We begin with... Oh, look who it is! I'm the father of the year, everybody. Look at the timing of that. Look at this. This is already a winner. I know this guy. Look at this handsome devil. Look at this handsome devil right here. Ignore the guy behind him. That guy sucks. But this guy here, man, look at this. All the confetti. This is already the greatest edition of Be the Booker we've ever booked. I love it. But now I guess I have to pick an opponent, don't I? I guess I have to pick it. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you what we'll do. Before I pick an opponent, let's go ahead and pick a stipulation for what this match is going to be. Boy, I'm all nervous here. I've never been in a stipulation match before. Solomonster will be in a stipulation match. It will be a, oh my God, no, it will be a Punjabi prison match. Why? Why? Oh man, Solomonster inside the Punjabi prison against, oh, you've got to be, you've got to be fucking shit, man. You have got to be shitting me. There's no way. There is no way. There is no way that that just happened. I don't believe this. How is that possible? Should we even bother with any other matches here? Solomonster in a Punjabi prison match against the great Kali. Well, I guess we should probably finish this here. I don't know why. Yeah, it's definitely Halloween. You know what? That is an appropriate match for Halloween. I could do that 20 times in a row, trying to land on that intentionally and never, and absolutely never do it. Ruby Soho against, what did he say? Oh, these chats are going by so quickly. Anyway, Ruby Soho, I forget. Yeah. Nothing we pick is going to be able to top this. All right, tag team Be the Booker. We have the Bushwhackers. Oh, man. The Bushwhackers and the Quebecers. Well, it was I rang the buzzer for myself because I thought, man, this is going to be great. And then I saw what happened. And, of course, I fucked myself. So, clean sweep of buzzers here in this edition of Be the Booker. That is the scariest edition of Be the Booker that we have ever done. I don't know how that happened. And that would be an absolutely horrendous match that nobody should want to pay money to see. It's so perfect for Halloween. I'm so happy that of all nights, if it was going to happen, it happened tonight. All right, well, this has been a very eventful edition of the stream. I will be back with you on the first day of November. This is the final stream for October, because when I am back with you, it will be Wednesday, which means it will be November 1st. And we will be talking AEW Dynamite. And of course, we have SmackDown on Friday night. And then we have Crown Jewel on Saturday, which is going to be very interesting. Because the roof, our roof here, is being replaced. This should have happened 2 months ago. And it got delayed and delayed and delayed because then it rained. We've had fucking, 8 gallons of rain every weekend. The roof is being replaced and it starts Thursday, which means it's going to go all the way through the weekend when I do my Crown Jewel review in the middle of the fucking afternoon. So what I'm hoping is they're working on a different section of the roof. Otherwise, you may hear some noises beyond my voice. So just be aware of that. It's going to be a very eventful weekend. Am I winning the match? Todd Warner wants to know, am I winning the match? Of course I'm winning the match. I'm booking. You think I'm going to book myself to lose? Come on, man. What's the matter with you? Prince Vegeta, 95. Glad to finally be a channel member. What's your opinion on the first Scream? Without a doubt, in my top 10 favorite horror movies. Mine too. The original is the best. I love that movie. It's one of my favorites. I just love the vibe of the movie and the music and the tension. Got a little bit of humor in it. First Scream is the best Scream. Wes Craven was great. When you are the booker, you have the power. That's how it works. But thank you for hanging out with me here on this Halloween stream. As I bid you adieu, it is officially Halloween. So happy Halloween, everybody. Be well. Stay safe. You are going trick-or-treating. Hopefully you get some good candy. The trick-or-treating cutoff age is about 34. So if you are up to and under 34, you can go trick-or-treating. I just made that up in my head. Trill Mexican coming in at the last minute here with a $5 super chat. Solid Monster losing to Kali. That don't work for me, brother. No, it does not. Arabian Night. I think I got yours. No, I did not. Okay, thank you for reminding me. I did miss yours. Arabian Night dropped the $5 super chat. Thank you for reminding me. Did you hear about the push coming for Karrion Kross after Crown Jewel? Because you see him maybe costing LA Knight the match and being the fifth member on the heels at War Games. No, I don't see that because they already have the people for War Games, and I feel like if you did that, it would just be kind of shoehorning someone in there who really doesn't have a place in the match. But Triple H has always been very high on Kross. And he survived the last round of cuts. So clearly they must have something in mind for him. And, you know, I've said before, I look at him in videos they put on their YouTube channel sometimes where he's out of that kind of spooky, dark character. And there's something there, I think, almost if you just let the guy be himself. But they may go back to the well again with the whole dark character. It hasn't worked for him so far. I don't know if it's going to work this time, but Triple H is going to give him opportunities because Triple H is very big on Karrion Kross. Him costing LA Knight, I kind of feel like that's a huge downgrade for LA Knight. Because everything they have done with Kross has not worked so far, and I would like to see him get another opportunity, but LA Knight is one of the most popular baby faces in the company. So more than elevating Kross, I feel like it would just drag down LA Knight. So I don't really like that idea, but I'm all for giving Kross another opportunity. I just don't think going back to the same thing is going to work. I hope if they do, they have something a little bit different in mind for him. So thank you for the question, Arabian Knight. I'm glad you reminded me about that. All right, come on back on Wednesday, guys. We'll do it all over again. Right here on the Solid Monster Sounds Off YouTube channel. Thank you for a great October. Let's make it an even better November. November is 16 years of the Sound Off. Celebrating the anniversary. I'll see you guys then.